You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
Good and evil, and their merits. Men have argued through history as well they should. My philosophy, any child can see, good is evil, and therefore all evil is good. How do you tell evil from good? Evil does well, good not so good. Evil's the one that is free everywhere, good is the one that they sell. You must decide which is heaven, which is hell. As I peruse this world we abuse, it's hell that we choose, and heaven must lose.
Brava, brava. Well
Thank
done.
Thank you, everyone. Well done. Faculty, brava. Alumni, for listening to my thesis. Jekyll and Hyde, good and evil, subreddit, minor premise, the feature film directed by Aaron Schultz. But first, let me introduce the alumni to everyone. We have Professor Robert.
Good day.
Thank you for listening to my thesis, being here. It's an honor. And, of course, we have Baccalaureate Mark.
Greetings and salutations.
And then we have just random guy who just happened to walk in the door halfway through, Trevor.
I like it. I like education. Sue me.
I think that we might. This is a private school. And, of course, I am Mindy. Hopefully, my PhD thesis will be enough for you today. If you just go to paragraph 1, subsection 3, the synopsis of minor premise, if one of you would like to read it.
This is a small independent movie that seems to center around an engineer slash professor who's trying to localize and understand memory and electronically has found a way to separate aspects of his personality and does so unwittingly, setting them all out in different shifts of his memory where only one aspect of his personality is in control. And he realizes that unless he figures it out with the limited perceptions he has because of this, well, his brain's going to melt, basically. That sum it up?
Pretty much. I mean, there are other characters. His ex-girlfriend helps him a lot. That's really the main other thing. So how did everybody feel about this film?
You know, I liked it. It's one of those things where when I read the premise
of my thesis, you read it?
Bree, everybody seems to take a stab at multiple personalities. It seems like after years of theater and playwriting and people who write creatively and who write screenplays and teleplays, everybody seemed to want to take a stab at multiple personalities at some point for me. I think that comes from us coming of age during the Fight Club era. So I'm a hard sell on these, but this one is different and fun enough that I enjoyed it. And it's enough of a difference and good enough that I'm really glad it just wasn't a retread of Split.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That's kind of my gut reaction takeaway here.
I really dug the structure that they went with. What we're basically setting up is once he goes in and does this experiment where he's upset by himself, what he triggers is every hour, 10 different aspects of his personality take over.
Nine.
For 6 minutes at a time. And I think the way they chose to display that was pretty good. I also thought they were above average in using the language of science in the film.
See, the structure is one of the things that actually kind of turned me off, because I absolutely agree. I thought it was a very unique way of doing this kind of structure, especially because, you know, I picked a song from Jekyll and Hyde, because even watching the trailer, I'm like, this is a reimagining of The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
It is very much a, what is the sense of self? Where does evil come from? Can I break it down in the human psyche? That is very clearly an adaptation of Jekyll and Hyde. And so I thought it was interesting that the default personality and really intelligence are the only people you really get to talk to. The problem is the structure of storytelling tends to be there's a build to the major conflict. The major conflict happens. There's a resolution of that conflict. And then the denouement, the resolution of the story. Because it was so broken up, for me, it was hard to see that build.
So when you had the main conflict happen, there wasn't anything underneath it
to make it memorable, to make it suspenseful, to make it a build-up. You know, the build-up is the confrontation with essentially Hyde. But because it's so broken up in his psyche, which is interesting because that's the way he's perceiving it, but because it's so broken up, there isn't any longevity in regards to that build. So it's like, I think it was interesting, but at the same time counterproductive to the storytelling, which is a frowny face.
Yeah, that is a very good point, because we do get time with the evil character and with our super intelligent character, but the rest of it's montage.
Yeah.
Well, it was subtle, and I kind of appreciate that, and it drove me crazy at the same time, because they're not trying to club you over the head with, okay, now I'm a different guy, hee hee hee. In fact, but the problem is it's so subtle that you kind of have a hard time keeping track.
Right.
I mean, the only way they show the psycho guy is a smoking habit.
Yeah.
And I mean, and rage is rage, that's pretty obvious, but generally speaking, there's seven other personalities, including the default intellect, where it's so low key. And honestly, I agree with you, but I kind of have to add something in that I think the biggest conflict is him fighting time, and all of them are fighting for supremacy. It comes down to the default intellect and the psychotic aspect of him.
But were they pronounced enough for you to even really see that, though?
No. That's the problem with it. I admire the soft sci-fi approach of it, and I really appreciate the concept, but no, I see what the guy was going for, and I appreciate him not spoon-feeding it to me, but at the same time, we could have used a little more emoting at the right places.
One of the things, you know, I've already mentioned, it was very clear this is Jekyll and Hyde. And the thing about Jekyll and Hyde is that this is a story that has been told since time immemorial, because these are questions about human psyche that are always going to be explored. So how did you feel in regards to it's a new presentation of Jekyll and Hyde? Did you think that it was unique enough to stand out? Did you think that it wasn't? How did you feel in regards to this is the theme that we're trying to portray?
I thought it was less about dichotomy than it was about the rivalry of all the personalities. I think it also was about what constitutes your true self. Is it your intellect? Is it your irrational feelings? Is it your sexual appetites? Is it your regular appetites? Is it your tenderness? And they kind of answer that question. They kind of don't. The denouement is vague.
It is very vague.
Yeah, as I kind of think it should be, given the nature of the movie. You're confused a vast amount of time in this movie.
Yes, you are.
I finally figured out that the transitions are marked by the what I assume is the bubbling of cerebral fluid, red Coke-like substance, you know, Coca-Cola substance. At one point, there was a nice little thing where there was two lights shined through that film where it was like two eyes that were glowing. And I was like, okay, I get where we're going with this now. But you got to really use your cinematic acumen to figure it out. I mean, your average person comes in and is like, what the hell is this? You know?
Well, and I think that's part of it. As Mindy mentioned, you know, the split personality, the Jekyll and Hyde story, the Tyler Durden story, the split story, you know, what have you. It's been told time and time and time again. And I think that's what engaged me with this, is that it was different enough. And that's why it stands out to me. just the device, the novelty of how they kind of sci-fi their way around a multiple personality disorder and the way they build the rules and how everything plays by those rules is what I really dug here. And yeah, there's an exploration of, are we our impulses? Are we inherently good? Are we evil? Is it just all of this working in equilibrium? What would happen if we were able to just delete trauma out of our lives? Would we be the same people? And so there's a lot of that going around. It's explored. It's there. It raises those questions. There'll be great discussion starters after a cup of coffee following the movie. But there are no answers here. There's no definitive philosophical answers to be had here. And I don't know if that's what they were going for either. But at the end of the day, I really enjoyed it. The novelty of the way it was presented carried through for me.
Well, what about the science aspect of it, too? Because I know when I was watching it, I watched the trailer first, and they explained the, we are breaking up the psyche into these different parts, and this is what each one is. And in the movie, that comes in about 45 minutes to an hour when that scene comes up. And I was there thinking, if I hadn't had that scene from the trailer, I'm not sure I would have understood everything that was happening. And so with the disjointed nature of the storytelling, I would have been even more lost. Did you think that the science was portrayed in a way that if you hadn't watched the trailer, you could still follow it? Or did you think that that was too mumbo-jumbo-y science words?
I think that they were truly trying to portray two people that are trying to have control in a strange and chaotic situation, him and his ex-girlfriend. And why do they do that? They're using the scientific method. They're documenting carefully. They're coming up with very basic solutions to certain problems. And a lot of problems happen. There's a coolant leak. There's all sorts of unexpected things. There's a guy, the manager, the supervisor is on to him for ethical purposes, of which there are many. And
just a wee bit, yes.
You know, so it's hard to tell because they're so freaking laid back and professional that it's hard to keep up with all the transitions. Again, the main character, who I do like in this.
Ethan, Safia Sridharan, I apologize if I butchered your name.
Glad you took a stab at that, Minnie.
But it's so laid back that you're like, okay, now we're at sexual guy. Now we're at psychotic guy. Are we at psychotic guy or are we at angry guy? I can't tell. And you get so confused. But 90% of the time, 7 out of the 9 personalities are just, well, we just got to document this. One of them just whacks off a lot. That's pretty much your big way of keeping track of things. Mm-hmm. I hate to say this, but I think either they need to dumb it down or maybe not even dumb it down. Just maybe a little more definitive emoting, like I said before. You need to tweak it. So the science, I think it was a decent, soft sci-fi story.
You know, for me, I actually walked into this totally blind. I didn't watch the trailer before watching it.
Me too.
And I didn't read a synopsis of it either. I hit this pretty cold. And I admit, I was wandering through the first third of this, largely lost. But that was also part of what was engaging about it for me. It caused me to sit up a little bit and pay more attention. And when the revelation is made to the audience of what is happening, that the hour is segmented into so many things, and this is when certain people take over, when it occurs to the character is about when it occurs to the audience. And it's fun to be along on that ride. Now, if I had bought a ticket to this, I don't know if I would have stuck with it. But because I'm reviewing this for one of us, obviously, I was going to stick with it. But some of the ambiguity between the different characters also helped me. It built a lot of the suspense, Mindy, that I think you were missing. So I didn't mind not being clued in at all. However, it is a confusing 45 minutes to get there. And I don't know that everybody's going to hang with it.
It is a wacky little ride, isn't it? You're just like, huh?
I will say, to get at what you're getting at, I like that, Mark, you said soft sci-fi. I think the thing for the meat of the movie, I guess, that kind of, I'm not going to say bothered me. I did like the film. But the thing that I wish would have been addressed different is that not only do we have the personalities, like if we were doing the Jekyll and Hyde straight, we're also dealing with this past trauma of his, which somehow doesn't have anything to do with any of the parts of his personality, but it is a large part of the plot. So I think either we could have kept that, or we could have not used that and went more science. We could have got headier at the beginning, you know, or something like that. Mm-hmm. The middle of the film is where I kind of started to feel like there's two films here. And I still liked it overall, but the part of me that loves the ending is the sci-fi part of it. And the part of it that was watching the other part of the movie, I didn't really care for the ending, but if they're trying to split our personalities, I guess they did a pretty good job.
Well, to expand on that, Robert, how did you guys feel about that? Because yes, this is a sci-fi. It has a machine that breaks up the memory, but there are also things about his daddy issues with his dad, his relationship with his ex-girlfriend. Did you think that the science part meshed with sort of the emotional character-driven aspects of it?
For me, it either would have had to have been longer or less of one of the two things.
I thought it meshed pretty clumsily, actually. It was all of a sudden in the middle of everything, you got the daddy issues coming out, and he wants credit where his dad. It's a combination of different things going on. It's like how he screwed up his love life, his dad, and what his issues were, his feelings of insecurity. I mean, you can go on and on. It's two different movies. It suffers from a split personality.
And then on top of that, you have the thing with Malcolm just in the middle of it.
Yeah.
That just kind of happens.
I see what you did there, Malcolm, in the middle.
Totally got by me on that one. Good for you.
I would have really dug if one of the shards of the personality was either guilt or pride, not to go to Seven Deadly Sins, but we could have combined this whole other chunk of the movie. Like, we get a piece of dad stuff in the mail, like, I was like, okay.
And it kind of fit in with the story, but...
Technically, it works, but like I said, for me...
It's about what drives him, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, setting him so far back as an instigator to what's really going on here just is kind of jarring over the arc of it for me.
Agreed.
The father subplot wasn't my favorite, but at the same time, it didn't take me out any. It was fine. It was there. I do want to shout out, though, we talked about Malcolm, the character. I don't want to say too much about what happens to him, but the character is played by Twin Peaks Dana Ashbrook.
That's where I recognize
him. So it was great to see him, but then looking at the cast list, Allie, who is the girlfriend, is played by Patton Ashbrook, who is Dana Ashbrook's niece, and also, I believe, the daughter of Lorenzo Lamas.
Wow.
If I'm doing my mental family tree correctly. So it was fun seeing all of that in action.
So how about we get into final thoughts? Marky Mark, how about you start?
Well, ultimately, it's an interesting movie. It's one I want to see again, which is a mark of high favor to me, because honestly, 90% of the movies we review, I'm like, yeah, it's good, but I don't want to see it ever again. It's fine. This movie, I'm like, I missed some stuff. I'd like to scoop it up and see it again in a new context. This movie's about shards. And it's edited like shards, which means that it's hard to follow probably the first time through. It reminded me of Memento and Fight Club and even some classical stuff like The Odyssey, because that's like one of the first out-of-sequence stories that are told. So I really kind of dug that because I'm a geek about film and lit. But that being said, it's shot an interesting way. I just wish they could have tightened up the acting. And they kind of went nuts with the editing. I wish they could have left it in a little more. It's not a long movie. It's like barely 90 minutes long. But I mean, ultimately, it's intriguing. And the acting was decent. I wouldn't say spectacular, but decent. I would give it 7 out of 10 inconsistent smoking habits.
And how about you, Robert?
I like the film, too. I think this is definitely one I'll recommend to people that I know kind of dig sci-fi and like thrillers, you know. I do have friends that just won't watch one location movie, so I won't recommend this to them.
That's very specific.
I think it's a thing of the pandemic. We're going to see a lot more of it. People are going to start
bottle films, yeah,
talking about it a lot more. I said a couple times, I did dig the narrative and the editing style that they went with. It's just, for me, by the time we get close to the back third, like, it really wears. Like, it's happening over a really long period of time for how strenuous we're being told what he's going through is. So that's just something for me. I thought the performances were good. I dug the end of the movie. So I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 hours of sleep that I hope these characters get.
And you, 1 of 8, Trevor.
This one, I really enjoyed. I think I was really sold on the premise and doing no small part to the lead actor, Sathya Sridharan. He plays terrified, exhausted, sweated out, confused very well, and he has a good look for it on top of that.
Yeah, he does.
And I was just totally on board. It was a lot of fun. I will say, while this is something you may not have seen before, it's probably not something that you're not going to see coming. Those are two different things. I think parts of this that are predictable, but I don't necessarily know that that's a negative for the film. I think part of the fun was seeing where it was going and how it was getting there. So I really enjoyed this one. I'm going to call this 8 out of 10 split personalities.
Well, once I finished watching it, I kind of had the same feeling I got once I finished reading Misery by Stephen King, which was, do I like this film? Yes? Because it is a very interesting concept. You know, I love The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, Robert Louis Stevenson. It's a great story, and it's a great concept to be explored. And I love the thought of, you have this machine that's able to divide the personalities. And all that sciencey stuff. I'm the daughter of scientists. That stuff is exciting to me. But I am a much more emotionally driven person than an intellectually driven person. So I think while the structure and the splintering of personalities was incredibly interesting on an intellectual level, I think it hurt the film on an emotional one because there wasn't a lot of buildup for a lot of the emotional things in the film. The relationship with the dad wasn't really explored. The relationship with the ex-girlfriend wasn't really explored. The relationship with Malcolm wasn't really explored. And his subplot, you would think that that would be a lot bigger than it was. You have this race through time that is happening, but because the editing is so disjointed, you don't have a buildup of tension through this race through time. And then, you know, you have this plot of number 8 is the psychotic one, and he's fighting to take over. But again, because the editing is so disjointed, you don't see his progress in this regard. So it's like there isn't a buildup of him gaining power for this final confrontation. You have, like you mentioned, Mark, the breaking of the coolant line, and you'd think that would be bigger than it is. So it's like there are a lot of really interesting intellectual moments in this film, but because there isn't the emotionality of it, it kind of feels like it's on the verge of dragging.
Yeah.
It's like it doesn't quite drag, but it's on the verge of dragging for a good chunk of the movie. So, like I said, yeah, I like it, but there are a lot of things emotionally that it could have done a lot better.
Yeah.
So I am going to give it a 6.5 really creepy ass posters. Have you seen this poster? If you go on the Wikipedia, his face is like 3 different faces and it's just teeth. It's just teeth and eyeballs.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what? I am afraid. What are you doing?
I will say that if that was something that existed in the VHS rental store when I was a kid, I would have stared at that cover for hours.
Absolutely.
Use it in your nightmares. Like, are you afraid of the dark?